You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second half of the show live. We opened a couple hours ago with the news that Bill O'Brien leaving, as expected. So, Nick Saban has two openings, D.C. and O.C., and we brought in Mike Rodak, who covers the team for AL.com, to get some perspective on what is happening. Mike, thanks so much. I know it's been a busy time following the coaching carousel. So what can you tell us in relation to, let's start with O'Brien's replacement. What's going on down there?
So you have to imagine that, you know, Nick Saban has tried to do some legwork on that, but really just from being from New England, and I used to cover the Patriots, like, I don't know if there was truly a firm answer on Bill O'Brien until fairly recently. They were still interviewing offensive coordinators last week. So the final answer really didn't come until pretty recently, where he knew Bill O'Brien was going to New England. But as far as, you know, who replaces him, I think the first question that Nick Saban has to answer, he hasn't spoken publicly in a while, but does he want to go with someone who is younger, up and coming, that he can develop over time? Or is it someone like he's tended to hire recently that is more established, former head coaches, and guys who can kind of walk in and do things well right away? I think that's the first question. And he has dipped into the NFL ranks before, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again. But at the same time, it seems like he's stayed within sort of his bubble where, you know, Steve Sarkisian was there before as an analyst. Bill O'Brien had familiarity with Bill Belichick, same with Brian Daboll. Lane Kiffin was a little bit outside of that bubble, but I don't think he'll venture too far outside of his familiarity zone. And, you know, it seems like there's still a pretty wide list of names, and I don't know if we can necessarily narrow it down quite yet.
Yeah, and Mike, you know this better than we do, but when you start trying to speculate, sometimes, and you know, we being the lay people have no idea where these names are coming from. You know, sometimes they are legitimate. A lot of times they're agent orchestrated. How, as a reporter, do you filter, you know, the good with the bad and trying to figure out what's realistic and what's not? Because you do have to write about it.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you kind of have to first understand kind of what he's looking for. Like when you see over the weekend, you know, somebody updating Greg Roman's Wikipedia page saying that he's the new Alabama offensive coordinator, you kind of know that Greg Roman's offense is not what Nick Saban for the last 8 or 9 years has wanted to run. And I used to cover Greg Roman in Buffalo, and you obviously watch him in Baltimore. Like, that's not what Alabama's trying to run. And then you see that, and you're like, that's not what he's trying to do. So, you know, if you kind of have the base of knowledge of what Nick Saban wants, I think that's where you have to start. But from there, yeah, it's a little bit of a crapshoot where, you know, Nick Saban's not going to be calling people up and telling you, here's my list of offensive coordinator candidates. So it's, you kind of have to just try to talk to people here and there and try to narrow things down. But it's a tricky game. It's probably trickier than most places too, just because of, you know, the level of secrecy involved with it.
Mike, let me throw some of the names that are out there. And a lot of times these names are created when organizations like yours and others come up with who are the likely possibilities. I mean, and I'm not suggesting these things come out of the clear blue air, but although sometimes it seems like they are. Jeff Lebby is a name that keeps getting mentioned. He just went to Oklahoma from Ole Miss. Does he fit this narrative that you've described earlier?
I think so. You look at typically what Nick Saban's tried to do. You go back to what Hugh Freeze was able to do at Ole Miss against him and beat him twice in 2014 and 2015. And Nick Saban says, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to try to run what you run because it's worked well against me. And you go back to what Tennessee did against Alabama last year. and what Josh Heupel was able to do with that spread offense, sort of the Baylor system, the wide split, the up-tempo, and they were able to put 50 points, the most points against Nick Saban ever. And you can easily envision Nick Saban saying, well, if you're able to do that against me, then maybe I should start running some of that myself. And obviously they've gone in that direction generally, but I could see them stepping a little bit further in that direction. And, I mean, Jeff Levy's coached under Lane Kiffin, where he's run a pretty up-tempo system. He's coached under Josh Heupel at UCF, and he goes back to the Baylor days as well. So there's a logical fit just in terms of you could see Nick Saban desiring some of those elements of his offense. And he even said it late in the season too, where he said, you know, he wants to get back to some of the spread and RPO stuff that maybe they were doing under Steve Sarkisian, which with Bryce, you know, is more of a drop pack passing game, just kind of based on his strengths and what he was able to do.
With Mike Rodak, who covers Alabama for AL.com. Mike, let me switch over to the defensive side, because we think we've known about this for a much longer period of time. Golding out. The names start with Jeremy Pruitt. Let's talk about him first. What do we know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it depends on where exactly. There's different parties involved. There's the SEC, there's the NCAA, and there's Alabama's administration. And whatever comfort level there is with each of them, I think all three of those have to align with, do we want Jeremy Pruitt back in the conference? Do they want Jeremy Pruitt at the university? And does the NCAA have a firm answer on what exactly the penalties will be against them? I can't say for sure where that exactly stands, but I can imagine that, you know, just based on what Pete Golding did, Pete Golding was a pretty effective recruiter. And if your defensive coordinator comes in and he can't recruit because there's penalties against them and, you know, show cause ultimately reflects upon Alabama, then, you know, there's obviously some issues there that I can see that falling through. But at the same time, from a pure defensive football standpoint, I can also see that making sense with Alabama bringing in Austin Armstrong, the Southern Miss defensive coordinator, with a pretty deep background with linebackers. You can imagine that their defensive coordinator is going to be coaching safeties. So Pruitt, you know, has experience with defensive backs. That would make sense for him to serve in that sort of role. And then the other name, I think, would be Jim Leonard, you know, the former NFL safety, who, you know, can certainly coach that position as well. So it seems to be a little bit of a narrower, you know, focus there with the defensive coordinator search. But, yeah, certainly some obstacles to overcome as far as, you know, Pruitt's situation.
And just, you may not know the answer to this, but let's just, for the sake of argument, assume that Pruitt gets hired and then he has a show cause. So that would preclude him from recruiting. What would that mean to the staff in terms of numbers of coaches being able to recruit? I would assume that you can't just come up with an add-on, can you?
Not to my knowledge. So, yeah, I think that would reduce some of the ability for them to do everything they want to do from a recruiting standpoint. And, you know, they do have other pretty effective recruiters on that staff with Freddie Roach and what he's done. Tavares Robinson has recruited pretty well, the cornerback's coach. But, yeah, you lose Golding. And then, really, Charles Kelly, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, from where he ranked with this past class, was number one in the country in terms of assistant coaching recruiting rankings, and he's obviously gone to Colorado. So you've already lost some of that impact, and, you know, whoever replaces him, if you can't have that person on the road, then, you know, that's an issue. But I don't believe that they can, you know, kind of pull from elsewhere to make that work if that were to happen.
Mike Rodak with us from AL.com. Mike, let's talk about Nick Saban for a moment, because, you know, he's, you know, everyone obsesses over what he's thinking, what he wants to do, what he has done. I realize covering him is not the easiest thing in the world to do. What is it like in terms of being able to reach out and glean information from him? Is he around much? Is he available? How does that work with a reporter for a major organization like yours?
Certainly not directly by any means. I mean, I've gotten a phone call from him. I don't think it's really gone the opposite direction where I can pick up the phone and call him. And that's, you know, it's understandable. He's kind of reached a certain point in his career where, you know, he can kind of put information out through certain people, and that's just kind of the way it is. I don't know if that's necessarily changing at age 71 for him and, you know, 50 years of doing this. So, you do hear stories, though. You know, I've talked to people who've covered him 30, 40 years ago, and you kind of can walk in the building, not covered him, but covered Alabama 30 or 40 years ago. You walk into the building, and you can talk to anybody who you want. That's certainly, not the case these days. We kind of have a very restricted time when we can be there, and there's literally a single room where we can be, and can't really walk in anywhere else. And obviously with the way Saban does things, we can't talk to assistant coaches the entire year. We talk to coordinators once a year, and anything else that happens kind of has to be outside of that sphere. But I don't think it's really – you don't hear too many people directly communicating with Nick Saban too often. And, again, I just don't really see that changing.
Yeah, I could attest to what it used to be like. I won't ruin your day by telling you how easy it was back then. And by the way, Mike, the thing that was great about the way it used to be, it wasn't so much even the head coach, who you could see. It was the assistant coaches. I mean, you could slip in and out of their offices at all times, before meetings, after meetings, before practice, after practice. And you know this. The information you could get from them was priceless.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in the NFL, as we've talked about on the show before, it's different because there's a certain amount of rules that are in place and what the NFL requires teams to do. And, one of those is you have to talk to – or every assistant coach has to talk to you at least once a week or at least be available to talk to you. So you certainly can learn more detailed information that way. You can kind of develop a closer relationship. And, I think the age factor probably does play a part. Like, it's a fairly young beat. And I don't know if Nick Saban's necessarily going to be picking up the phone and calling people who are 30, 40 years younger or even having those sort of conversations off to the side either. So, again, just sort of the way it is. It's different than the way it used to be, but, I think we're still able to accomplish our goals from a media outlet standpoint, just as well.
Mike, finally, and this is kind of a outside-the-box question, but 2 weeks ago today, the day after the game in Los Angeles, not only were people talking about what happened on the field, they were talking about what happened with Nick Saban on television when Pollock, said what almost everybody else was thinking at the time or saying, that Alabama had moved to the side. He didn't say that. He said Georgia has pretty much ruled college football for the past 2 years. Do we have any earthly idea how Nick Saban reacted to that, what he thought of that moment, and especially what he thought of the narrative that has now been developing that Kirby Smart has taken over his mantle?
I know fans kind of look at that and think, like, he must just be stewing inside and he must completely disagree with what David Pollock is saying. I can't speak for – I haven't asked Nick Saban about it. I haven't had the opportunity yet, but I would have to imagine to some degree he agrees with it. Like, he's a smart guy. I think he knows football. He's watched what's happened on the field the last 2 years. I would imagine, in all honesty, that he agrees that Georgia has done what it's done the last 2 years. Now, does that mean he believes it's going to continue for the next 3-4 years and – there's no way of any sort of change to the status quo. I don't think that, but I don't think he's denying what's happened. And I don't necessarily know if it has to be some big revenge tour. Like, look, I think Nick Saban already had a revenge tour this past season. I think losing to Georgia a year ago in the national title game had to have some sort of motivation to him. And they still went out, and all the things that we watched last season, they still lost 2 games and came close to losing 2 or 3 others. And, I don't know if that necessarily means he's coming out in 2023. He can try. He can try to say, hey, we're motivated because everybody's saying Georgia's better, but you still have to do it on the field. And Alabama this season is going to have to do it with a different quarterback and 2 new coordinators and a lot of new starters on defense, too.
Yeah, you don't have the Heisman Trophy winner coming back. That could be a factor. Mike, thank you very much. We really appreciate you jumping on here.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Mike Rodak, what an outstanding conversation with him about covering Alabama, what's next for Nick Saban's staff, and what Nick Saban may or may not be thinking. That's as good as it gets. Mike Rodak from AL.com. And we will take a short break. It's your reaction to that. Seth Greenberg, final hour, talking about some hoops as the basketball season is in full board. We are back with more after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And let's continue. John is up next in North Carolina. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Great. I had a couple quick questions. The new quarterback that we've signed at Tennessee, Emilia, I can't remember his name now, not pronouncing it correctly. Do you see him having an impact pretty quickly as opposed to Joe?
I think he could. He is highly touted, but it's hard to believe that he would be able to supplant Joe Milton, who's, been around 5 years now? That's a lot of time and a lot of experience in big settings, including the Orange Bowl.
Absolutely. I just wonder if they bring new kids in, and the same thing, I guess, happening maybe at Texas with Arch Manning, what kind of an impact he might have and how quickly, because I know they're going to be really rooting for that kid to get on the field pretty quickly.
Yeah, and listen, I know the same about Arch Manning as you do, more about him than Nico from Tennessee, but I mean, he's going to have to replace a really good quarterback, though, in Ewers, so... I don't think that's it's always easy to say, but it's a different world out there.
Yeah, it is. I know that with the year that Hooker had last year, it's going to be hard to follow that. And I hope Joe's up to that.
You know, I think he is. First of all, he's got possibly the best coach in the country in terms of running the offense. That's a big help when you're getting the right plays versus the wrong plays, which we saw often last year at Alabama. Let's check out Joe in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joe. Joe, you there? He is not there. Let's continue here with Anthony in New York. Anthony.
Yeah. Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I wanted to talk about the Notre Dame football program. I bleed blue and gold. I'm a very big Notre Dame fan. And you had said that Notre Dame is a diminished program. And I think you're just a little bit too critical. And I wanted to bring up some points. Notre Dame's talent level is getting better. And if you remember, they had a home-and-home series with Georgia, and both of those games were within a touchdown, and they also beat LSU in two bowl games recently, and also beating South Carolina this year. And I just wanted your opinion on their future. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, I think their future is great. I think Marcus Freeman's a phenomenal coach. But let me make it clear. When I say a diminished program, they're still a relevant program. they're diminished compared to where they used to be. I mean, Notre Dame has not won a national championship since 1988. I mean, do you have any earthly idea how many schools have won multiple championships since then? Who have won championships since then? I mean, half the SEC, maybe more, has knocked out a title since that moment. So that's how you're judged. You're not judged by winning the Gator Bowl. You're not judged by beating LSU in a bowl game or coming within a touchdown of Georgia. I mean, Newt Rockne just rolled over in his grave when he heard that statement. Bobby is in Oxford. Hello, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right. Hope you and your staff are doing well. I had a couple of quick questions. Number one, what do you see Ole Miss's trajectory for next season? And I've been less than impressed with their defense and since probably Hugh Freeze era. And then the second question is, I missed a show yesterday or 2 days in a row or whatever, but I hear you referring to this article about the UGA students, but I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, Bobby, I'll get to that thing. As far as I think Ole Miss is one of the mysterious teams in the SEC next year. In recent days, they've improved their odds by bringing in some really great quarterbacks. The schedule's interesting. You would normally yawn and laugh at that Tulane game, but do not do that, please. You know, at Alabama early, LSU, Arkansas, at Auburn. You know, again, they always have Vanderbilt, so that's a step up. But they lose that advantage by having to go to Georgia. So there's a treacherous run there. Maybe better than last year, which saw five losses to finish the season. As far as the Georgia situation, there was an article in the AJC yesterday, Sunday, that mentioned that the four students who were involved in the accident, two, of course, fatally, were at a strip club moments before the incident. And we just had a conversation about whether that really needed to be included without knowing for sure whether that had anything to do with the outcome of the evening. The managing editor of the newspaper publication wrote an article explaining why they wrote it. It became a lightning rod of conversation. We'll take a short break. We'll talk to Seth Greenberg in the final hour. More of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here, and legend is next.
Woo! If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Clap, clap. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yeah, baby. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Clean both of them offices out, Dick. Clean them both out. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! What a day. What a great day, Alabama Nation. This is going to be a great year, baby. It's going to be a great year, man. Elvis is in the building. Y'all watch out. You know, I just got one thing to say about Bill O'Brien going back to New England. Return the sender. Address unknown. No such number. Bill O'Brien, we're not ever answering the telephone. Woo! That's what I'm talking about, Dick. Clean them offices out, baby. Woo! Get your ass out of town. Don't ever come back. Pa, I heard today that Tom Brady's 80-year-old butt thinking about going back to New England to reunite with Bill O'Brien down at the news is broke. Woo! The NFL's version of grumpy old man, baby. I love it. I love it. Bill O'Brien, in closing, let me tell you what I told Pete Golden. Don't ever come back.
It's a road jack.
Woo! Go! Get out of here. Paul, you know, you said about a week ago, I remember when you said it. I said, you know, my boy, sometimes he cuts like a knife. Cuts to the core. Feinbaum can be cold. That's why he's the underboss of the Black Hat Mafia, baby. You said about a week ago, what Nick Saban does with these two coordinators will say a lot about Nick. Ain't that what you said?
I said that, yes.
Well, let me hear it from you. What does it say about Nick to you now that he's made these moves?
And by the way, legend, these were quiet, stealth mob hits. Both looked like they were leaving town on their own. That's the genius of Nick Saban.
Black Hat Mafia, baby.
He fired both of them, but they both got new jobs.
Yep. Out of town, baby, with the vicious. Both of y'all with the vicious. You know, Paul, somebody told me today, you and Feinbaum gonna regret running them two coordinators off. I said, listen, man. You remember the last play of the LSU game when Daniels ran it in from 25 yards out? That dude said, yeah, I remember, legend. I said Alabama was in a 1-4-6 defense. I've been watching football 50 years, so I've never heard of a 1-4-6 defense. What the hell is that? Is that some kind of Syracuse zone in basketball from the 80s or something?
Jim at Boeheim special. Hey, legend, you said it last year after the championship game. You said both need to go. And had Saban done what you had said, where would Alabama be tonight?
We would be celebrating the national championship because we know Alabama had the best team. We just didn't have the best coordinators. I said it the whole year. And you knew it deep down, and every Alabama fan out there knew it deep down that Pete Golden was a bum and Bill O'Brien needed to be at Boston College. Everybody knew it. That filed Alabama a new football. Of course, you've got these football dummies, you know, always these experts always talking, you know, well, they ain't that bad. They ain't that bad. They ain't that bad for Ole Miss. But for Alabama, they horrible, baby. And let me say this about Dan Mullen. Come on down. I like Dan Mullen, baby. I like Dan Mullen's ball. Hell yeah, I take Dan Mullen's in a heartbeat. Because if Dan Mullen's come to Alabama for about 2 years and put a ring on that finger, you know and I know in 2 years' time, hell, he could have the Florida job back if he wanted
well,
it.
That may happen.
Hell, yeah, you come to Alabama for 2 years and win a ring, Dan Mullins, you could have the Florida job, you could have the Auburn job. Hell, by then, you could have the Arkansas job. Hell, I mean, that'd be all kind of opens in the SEC in 2 years, baby. But it's a great day, Paul. I'm celebrating. Nick is back. Nick Saban is back. Y'all counted him out. He just took out both coordinators to let y'all know the golden era has begun. Nick Saban ran them bums out of town and gave notice to the nation. He may be old, but he is one old badass man, and he's coming for you. Woo! What a day, baby. Elvis has left the building.
JK is next.
Woo!
If you in denial and you know it, clap your hands. If you in denial and you know it, pat your feet. Hey, listen. Did you hear what he just said, Paul? You and I know, and all the Bama fans know, Alabama was the best team, baby. But guess who didn't? The committee said you were not one of the four. Woo! Woo! Hey, Paul, why don't you cut that clown off sometime, Paul? You just let him go on and on and on about Alabama the best, Nick the best. Every time Alabama can't cut the mustard, they want to get rid of the coordinator, blame the fans, blame the cheerleaders, blame Big Al, the human form, the mascot form, and the animal form. Anytime they lose, it's an excuse. It's always something. Now they get rid of both the coordinators. So what's going to happen when they don't make the playoff next year, as I predicted? Who they going to fire this time, Nick? There is no medicine, no medicine in the world for denialism. All Bama fans, go to Walmart, get that butthurt cream and stool softener, and take it on into September, baby. Woo! James Brown has left the building.
We'll take a short break. We need one after those two. Coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Jim is up next.
Woo! 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 Hey, Elvis has left the building, but Elvis is back in the building, and the real Elvis, and the other Elvis, J.K., he's also, who is the real, will the real Elvis please stand up? I tell you what, Feinbaum, I promise you, J.K., I told you the first day he called, that guy is your best caller right now by far. He's not a phony. He don't put on all that, woo, woo, Elvis left the building. J.K. is your best caller, Paul. I'm not kidding you. I really mean it. He's exciting. He's fun. And he, you know why? Because he ain't a phony. He's real. I don't like you. You know, I'm not for pulling against Alabama, but he's a funny caller, and I enjoy him. And he, and legend is legion. Legion is nothing but a backstabbing liar, and he ain't nothing but a phony.
What a guy, I would agree with you. JK can be very funny.
He's good. I'm telling you, and I'll tell you why. He's not a dadgum routine comic, a phony comedian. He's not a. He is a comedian. The other guy is not a comedian. He's just a big bag of hot air, blowhard, nothing. Got nothing, ain't never had nothing. Trying to do something, and he ain't. He's trying to keep up with me. He never could, never will. Never, never. You know that. In your heart of hearts, you know that, Feinbaum. He ain't got my class. He ain't got my brain. He ain't even got a brain, to be honest with you. He's a dummy. Just a real dummy, blowing that mouth. I've seen him all over the schoolyard. All over the schoolyard, phonies like him.
Well, I will say this to you, Jim. When you called regularly, which was some time ago, nobody could help, could touch you.
Nobody could lay a glove. I know. I'm coming back. I'm doing it right now, and you know it, because I'm bringing it. I'm bringing the facts. I ain't doing that everyday same replay crap. Like, woo! Woo! I ain't doing that. No, that's your sycophant, suck up, kiss ass. You know who he is. Yeah, but he's a JK right now. Best caller on the show. I like him. I like him. The guy, he's got some sense, too. He's not a dummy. He's really got some sense.
Well, Jim, I like where this is going because you know we're leaning on you whenever we can to try to build a caller base.
You got me, man. I'm going to tell you what, Paul. I thought about yesterday. I'm going to call you every day like I am, man. But I'm going to call because I'm going to call every day to please Judy from Florida, I think her name was, because she wanted me to call every day. She said, didn't she say yesterday? She said, Jim, please, you promise you'd call every day. Woo! I'm going to do that for her. Judy.
I mean, Judy. It's a double-edged sword. You'll please a lot of people by doing that, and you'll also tick off a lot of people.
Well, hey, that goes with the territory. That went with, hey, Paul, my first day, that also went with the territory, didn't it?
Listen, you always, it doesn't matter what show you grew up watching, what group, whatever, you remember that moment. And
that's right.
I think everyone remembers your first call. I mean, it was like lightning had struck.
Your quote was this, on air, you quote, the guy just took the show by storm. I remember your quote. That's what you never told the, woo, Elvis phony that. Look, Paul, you're not a dumb guy. You play the game. I know you play the game. But I'm going to tell you right now, this call today right now with me is your best response call in months because it's real. And I know you mean what you're saying. You're not lying. You're telling the truth. But you go along with that fat phony, that fathead that you talked to about three calls ago. You go along, and I know why, to get along. But his get-along ain't got no get-along anymore. Never did. Never will. That's just the fact.
Well, Jim, if I'm as smart as you said I am, why do you...
No, you aren't smart. I never said you wasn't smart.
Well, then how do you explain all the stupid things I'm supposedly doing here every day?
We still trying to take that under advisement. We're searching. We got a search committee on that one, Paul.
Yeah, because I wonder sometimes when I hear people talk about the show, what in the world?
Obviously, it's not just me talking about it, is it?
No.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna do my best to get Jeff back, and I think he's. I feel like his mind is on gone forever. I talked to him about. You know, I haven't talked to him in a while.
I saw what you said about him earlier. I mean, we keep up with the callers. I mean, the ones that matter.
I don't know what I said about him.
Well, you said he quit the show because I can't remember specifically, but I remember reading you were.
He said he just got tired of the show. That's right. What he told me. And you can't blame him for that, Paul.
He came in here and took.
Who wants to say that all day every day?
So if I could get a free question here, I feel like I'm talking to a psychiatrist.
Go ahead, Paul. You got it.
At a baseball game, and I got. do you think what you're talking about the caller a minute ago? You think that really hurts the show?
What hurts the show?
The legend call.
Now you know I don't really know. I mean I know there's a lot of suck ups out there that say they like him, but I really don't believe any. I know this. The intelligent people that I know that are Bama fans, they are completely embarrassed by even hearing his voice mention Alabama. I'm serious as I can be about that. And I'm not, you know, I wouldn't lie about that. In fact, a lot of them don't even listen to the show because of him. So I guarantee you that's a fact. A lot of them don't even listen to the show because of him.
I will say this to you, Jim, and I one thing about me, I don't sit around. I mean, I get into it, and then I may regret some of the things that happen. But I don't like to see anyone leave the show. You know that. And that goes
really
for
know,
everyone. That doesn't.
I can see what you admit, Jeff, I mean, right?
I mean, I think there's a reason why we do this show. And I mean, when callers of great reputation or any reputation leave, it hurts.
Okay, if you really mean that, I've tried to call Jeff twice in the last 2 weeks. You know, I got a little pride, and I'm not going to keep bugging him if you don't want to talk.
Well, no, we gave him a hard time because his team lost, but that's not a big deal. He knows how I feel about it.
He didn't leave because of that, Paul, okay. I promise you.
Well, then,
he had already left the show before Ohio State.
You're right. He did. You're right about that.
I know I'm right because he and I were talking every day. So it's been about 2 months. I called him two or three times in the last 2 months, you know, after about a week and a half each time. And he's got a new answer machine. But it's different. So he's got, evidently, I'll tell you what I think. I'm being honest with you. I think he wanted to kind of get away with the new season because he's got a new type deal, and I don't know if I ought to talk about any of it, but he's not doing – he sold his business. I don't know if I ought to tell you that.
I didn't know
and
that.
And he's still involved in it, but he might be just – that. I think that's got a lot to do with it. But he also was sick of the show and how it was headed, how it was going as far as, you know, quality and so forth, and I'm not lying about that. And I think – I still listen. I mean, people listen. I'm addicted. I guess I can't – I don't know if I'll ever be able to quit. I tried to quit, but it's hard. I tell you what I'll do. I'll listen a few minutes, and when I listen to that more, I'm like him, I just turn it off and turn it back on about 10 minutes later. I can't take that kind of crap. That's just idiocy, Paul. That means it comes to nothing. That's like something a four-year-old would listen to. You know, oh, I love it. But that's crazy. That's crazy stuff. The guy's crazy. I mean, he's genuinely crazy.
Well,
I wonder what – I wish somebody could find out what Nick Saban thinks about it. Of course, you'll never know. But, boy, I bet if you can find out what Nick Saban thinks about the guy, you're talking about cringe. He would cringe just the thought. That guy's he's just a horse, as you know.
That would really be interesting to get Saban's opinion of all the callers.
But especially that one.
I'm going to put you in charge of that, Jim. Yeah, you got better sources in Tuscaloosa than I do. So you take care of that for us.
Yeah, I do. What? Take care of what? But.
Seth Greenberg is joining us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.